Before we move on to the next sugya, we have one more piece that we have to touch upon, which was the piece of the Toras Gittin, which is actually, there's a lot packed in there. It's a classic example of, it's a very straightforward idea, but you have to know a lot in order to understand this. In there, you could spend like 3 hours just explaining the background to this din, so I'm not going to spend 3 hours explaining to it. I'll ask you to explain it in 20 minutes, but we'll try that out. The issue that was left over was what happens to chutzmi znusich, or as the Rashba has it, chutzmi tas nusayich, which is the biblical, that's probably a Yecheskel term, I think, Yecheskel Yirmiyahu term. So the Gemara is clear that it's a suffik, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's how the Rambam paskins. The question is, what happens if you say, with regards to one of the krovim that you can't marry, so there's generally no shir b'nisuin, will there be shir b'snus there? Now, this topic sort of sideways, sort of on the side, is going to come up in the next sugya as well. And the most interesting question that I assume none of you have seen yet, which is, what if you did not write Hareat Muteris L'chal Adam, but you did write, you know, V'dein D'yevi Lichem Yinayu, or Atehei Rasha Limhoch U'lumisnasva L'chol Guvra Dititzvin. That's the answer, by the way. What happens if you don't write Hareat Muteris L'chal Adam? It's a big bachlokas that we've shown about that, because when you say Da'at Rasha Limhoch Ulmisnasva l'chol gvar v'titzvin, that means to get married. What if you just want to have znus? Harat muteres l'chol adam would imply you do whatever you want. So that's actually a big dispute in the Rishonim. But for our sugya for the moment, clearly chutzmi znusich is a shiur misafik. But what if you did that with the abba or avicha or achi or achich? What would be the case? So the Beis Shmuel writes here. You only have Beis Shmuel. Yeah, read the Beis Shmuel, please. Ooh, you came with the real. Oh, it's a sheet there. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Mehipoch, mehatach, we would say. Right, so that would make sense, because that's clearly a shear in v'holchai v'holachav v'hoysel ishacher v'chol ishvish. Anyone she could have married without your restrictions, she has to be able to marry. V'im Omar. So we spoke about this in the when we did the first sugya in the parak months ago. Fine. V'nira. Now here's his Beis Shmuel's chiddush. So the assertion he's making is that if you said Harez Gite Chutz Me Abba, including znus with Abba, or Avicha, or Achi, or Achich. Should be Avicha also. So he says that is not a shir. Now even though you might be saying, how can you compare the two? Because after all, Nisuim is impossible with these relatives. You can't have Kiddushin. Whereas znus is possible. Generally speaking, that's the only time when we talk about things being impossible is when we're talking about a chalos. When you're talking about a mitzias. So you can't talk about, if the mitzias is possible, asur or not, you don't have to talk about a halos. So znus is possible. It's just a physical act. And therefore, so even though they're different, nonetheless, he says still, the halacha is it's not considered a shir. V'chein. So the havamin of the Gemara was, the Havamina, when the Gemara asked the question, chutz miznusich, the Gemara tried bringing a proof from Abba and Avich, Because the Mishnah says that it's not considered a shiur. And the Gemara is medayik, well, okay, what's the case there? It can't be shalotinasi la'aba lavich because, well, it doesn't work anyway. It must be shalotizni im aba v'imavich. And the Mishnah says it's not a shiur. But the diuk is with aba and avich it's not a shiur, but with anybody else it would be a shiur. Now, at that stage in the Gemara, it's quite clear that chutz mis nusich with someone you cannot have kiddushin is not a shiur. It's not a problem. The get would be good. The Gemara is now doche that attempted raya to teach you that chutz mis nusich is a shiur with everybody else by claiming that chutz me aba avich means through nisuin, even though it doesn't work technically, but b'loshon b'nei adam, you talk about a person marrying, even though it's not a marriage. We talk about intermarrying, even though it's not a marriage. So too. You could say you can't marry your father or my father. What that means is you're not allowed to go through the motions of having nisuin. So therefore, it's possible that the Mishnah tells you nothing about Znusich, and it might be possible that what, by the way? According, when you read the Gemara, it's possible that chutz miznusich by shar kol adam is not a trick question. Is no. Yes and no. You're right. It's ambiguous. But when the Gemara is doing this, the Gemara is saying, but it's possible that chutz miznusich is not a shir. Right? The Gemara, you're right, Ephraim, that it's not, there's no proof per se, but when the Gemara is docha, it's docha in order to say, oh, if we don't have that from the Mishnah, it could very well be that chutz mis nusich by Ashar people is also not a shir. Now, because it's a suffik, so, and by the way, if that were true, if we're not a shir, it's certainly not a shir by Aben Avich. So note that both in the Havamin of the Gemara and in the Dechia, it's not a shir by Aba and Avich. So the Beis Shmuel says that it's mashma lehedya b'shas b'sal k'daitach tina zusav shir. Umikom akom ba'aba lo hava shir. That's the Havamin of the Gemara and how to read the Mishnah where they want to be medayik that chutz mis nusich is a shir. And then in the Maskana he says, finish? Yeah, the Gemara never unbid that assumption. And I'm trying to point that. In other words, yes, Ephraim, once the Mishnah is now talking about Nusich there, so then you really, you can't really tell. But certainly the Gemara, you know, starts out in the Havamina chutz mis Nusich of Aban Avich, it's not a shiur. And in the Dechia, it's not a shiur either for anybody. So now, as the Beis Shmuel says, why would you assume it's a shiur, the Gaba Aben Avich? That doesn't change from the Havamina to the Pesalka Daitach to the Maskana. And the truth be told, on its own, that is a correct reading of the Gemara. The Torah Skitten doesn't dispute that. If the end of the Gemara were right there and it said, Teku, probably the Torah Skitten would have agreed with the Beis Shmuel. But he thinks a little differently. Daniel, please. Okay. He knew Tanakh, so he borrowed Tanakh phrases. It's more like the thing Ramban does. Okay. So anyway. Yeah, because that, yes, because the Heinuch Hall is Shri Darbanan. They have Vaya the Ishacher. So what is he saying in this? I learned a new expression. It's called a to be sure paragraph. I learned this expression that you always write to be sure, that can see the minor part of truth in the argument to the other side before you go and explain why you think they're wrong. So to be sure, says the Taras Gittin, in the Havamina of the Gemara, at the first stage, not the Havamina, the first stage of the Gemara, when the Gemara thinks that the Shiur has to be in the Nisuin, the Gemara raises the possibility, since the Ikar of Nisuin is Bia, so a Shiur in the Bia might also be considered a Shiur in Nisuin. And since there cannot be Nisuin by Abba and Avich, a Shiur by their Bia of Znus is also not going to be a Shiur. Because at that stage in the Gemara, until the end of this Ibaya Chusmis Nusich, we're only thinking that the only time it's going to be a shir beget is when it's not a holcha v'haysala ish acher lechol ish v'ish. And therefore, this nusich is just an extension of the nisuin. And hence, at that stage of the Gemara, both call it the salkadaitach and the maskana at that stage, Chutz mis nusich of Abba and Avich is not a shir. But, go ahead. Masha ein kein. Right. Nisuin and Znus are all, funny way of saying it, but they're all the same parsha. Right? They all revolve around Bia. Once the Gemara asks now, when there's no shir in the Bia, but he says, chutz me'afaras nidarayich, chutz mitrumasich, all of those things no longer relate to the etzem ha-nisuin, to the Bia element of nisuin. So once the Gemara has expanded it, so at that point, in Cain, now, so certainly it's considered shir. Now you ask, why? What's the difference? What is he doing? What impact does it have? What impact does it have on her whether he excludes the Znus of Abba and Avich? What happens if she has Bia with Abba or Avich? What's the punishment? You know, there's a story that's told at Rushechter on Kol Bechinas, an entrance to the Kol, and ask a question. One of the questions you would ask is, can a woman be a Nazir? Of course, the answer is, sometimes, as the stories go, somebody's making hakira. Ish v'isha, ish o isha, ki yafli lindor neder nazir. That's a pasuk in Chumash. What does the pasuk in Chumash say? I am reminded of one of the, I will not say which of my senior colleagues who once said this. I don't know how it came up in a meeting, discussion of Tanakh, and there's a person who's a very big Talmud Chacham. And he said one of his friends said to him that he's at Sufra Mirabana but an Amaris Daraisa. I mean, he's a Bucky in Tarshval Peh but doesn't know Tarshivasad. I think he knows a little more Tarshivasad than his friendly knowledge is, but nonetheless. So I don't want you to be just at Sufra Mirabana, I want you to be also not an Amaris Daraisa. So the punishment of Abba or Avich, punishment of Bito, punishment of Abba, my father is a father-in-law, daughter-in-law, and the punishment there is skila for kalasa. And what is the punishment for daughter? Where does it say in the Torah a person can't have bia with his daughter? What? It doesn't. What? There's daughter's wife, the wife's daughter, wife's granddaughters, one's own granddaughters, and the gzeira shava of hena, hena, zima, zima, and you learn the Isser and the punishment, which is Sreifa. Now, what's the punishment for Eishes Ish? Three possibilities. But two can, in our purposes, it won't matter. The easy is, Nara Besula Meorasa is Skila. We're not obviously dealing with that here. That's a good. Regular Eishes Yisrael is Chenek. As a regular bas Yisrael is chenek, a bas kohen kisechel is nosa saviyah mechalas by ish tisareif. That's a machlokas atanayim, depending upon what they hold by the chomer of skila versus sreifa determines where the Torah is giving the punishment potentially a sreifa to bas kohen. Clearly, if you believe that skila is more chamur than sreifa, you're definitely not giving it for an aram or rasa when she's a bas kohen, because you don't want to let her off the hook. You're giving her a less severe punishment if you hold the way we do that skila is more chamur than sreifa. But be that as it may, in this case, the choice, the menu of options is either a chenek or maybe sreifa if she's a bas kohen. We'll get up, but it won't even matter in this case. And the punishment, well, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. The punishment for Av, we're going to assume like the Chachamim, that Skila is Chamur and Misreifa. The punishment for Av, Abba is Skila. The punishment for Avich is Sreifa. Therefore, what impact does it have whether she's an Eshet Ish or not? And the answer is, you can't kill her twice. Hard to do. Yeah? Did you say something? Brian? What? Oh, Hasra. But more simpler. If it's the Shogeg, how many Chatos do you bring? That's a better one. Okay, Hasra is also matter. That's correct as well. As Torah Skitten says. But how many Chatos you would bring? So here, I need to give a little bit of background. Maybe all of you know this. Maybe all of you figured this out. Maybe you didn't quite figure it all. But he starts talking about Isser Mosev and Isser Basachas and things changing. So a little bit of background to this. Generally speaking, if this is even true, but it's stated as general klal, ein iser chalal iser. Once something is usher, another iser cannot come along and prohibit it as well. So theoretically, even though this may be an exception, it's a machloka, if you're going to eat on Yom Kippur, it is probably better to eat a nevela that was nevela from before Yom Kippur than to eat kshera. Because if you eat nevela that was nisnabla mibod yom on Yom Kippur, you only get malchus for the lo sasev nevela. You don't get the punishment of eating on Yom Kippur because ein iser chalal iser. Okay, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, what are the exceptions to the rule? Where different tanaim have different exceptions. The first one is iser bevasachas, if the two come at the same time, if they are simultaneous. So, for example, if you do malacha on Yom Kippur, which is Shecholios B'Shabbos, and you do it B'Shogeg, you have to bring two karbanos, one for Yom Kippur, one for Shabbos. Because L'maskanas HaGemara, there's a very odd Gemara in Perek Shemana Shratzim in Shabbos, in the 14th Perek, but L'maskanas HaGemara, Shabbos and Yom Kippur begin at the same time. Shabbos, and don't ask me Kosefas, if I doesn't count here. So that's not, you don't get, that's not the lav of that, whatever lav it is for Yom Kippur, that's not the Tosefos, that's something else. So Isser B'Vasachas, pretty much everybody agrees, Isser is Chalal Isser. Not Isser Chalal Isser, the Isser Marchal B'Vasachas. The other two kinds of Isser Chalal Isser, and here it's a little bit complicated, is one is known as an Isser Mosif and one is known as an Isser Kolel. An Isser Mosif means the following. You have a woman who is married. She is Tahura Labayla. And now she becomes Anita. Now, what if she has an adulterous affair at this particular time? B'Shogeg. They didn't teach her in Yeshiva Girls High School. You fill in whichever one you want. They didn't teach her that the losinaf is prohibited. She thought it was mutter. There's a tshuva like this in the Marik. Quoted in the last Semitic, one of the last Semitic of Edessa. A woman who thought that it was mutter. Is she considered, she asur levayla or not? Is she shogeges, classical? So she didn't know, they didn't teach her in yeshiva that losinaf is asur. So the question is, now she does tshuva, she realizes, and she has to bring a carbon chatos. But how many chatos does she bring? Does she bring only for eshes ish, or does she bring for nida as well? Now, if you believe that iser chal al iser be iser mosif, then we say the following. Since the iser was nitosaf with respect to certain people, it's nitosaf with respect to everybody. So since it was added on with respect to her husband, because before she was Anida, she was asur to everybody else, but she was muteris to her husband. Now that she becomes Anida, migo de itosif isura legabe baila, itosif the iser of nida legabe kule alma. That's called an iser mosif, focused on if there are more gavras who get subsumed by this iser. The other kind of Isser Chal Isser is known as an Isser Kola. An Isser Kola means that if the Isser is Kola Dvarim Acherim Imo, in other words, this is Asser already. But now comes a second Isser on this, except for even though this is Asser already, other things, other Chetzes that were Mutter, now become Asser. Therefore, this Isser is Chal on this thing that was Asser already as well. That's the Yom Kippur case. Before Yom Kippur, Nevela was Muteres, other any Machal Asser is Theraisa. All other foods were Mutter. Comes Yom Kippur, and it Asser's the Mutter foods. So since Yom Kippur is Asser's the Mutter foods, it's Kolel the Asser foods with it. It includes them as well. So those are the three kinds of things. I forget, the Gemara has a statement. I forget which is preferable to the other, which is stronger than the other. I thought it's that even if you don't have an Isser Kola, you have an Isser Moses, but I may have it backwards. So there are various shitos amongst the Tanaim, but those are the three principles. Isser Kola, Isser Moses, and Isser Vasachas. If you want to see, just lay a systematic laying out of this, you can look at the Rambam and the Perish HaMishnayos in Krasus. I think it's the fourth parak. It's a very famous passage known as the Nekuda Nifla. I'm not going to tell you what it is now. I'm going to leave you, and you probably did it in your day already. Okay. But bottom line is that you want to see a little summary there, and then a fascinating whopper of a Chiddush of the Rambam. So it's in the Nekuda Nifla. So it's, I think it's the fourth parak of Mishnayos in Krasus. Okay. So now with that little hakdama, we can, there are obviously many, many more details in it, but for now, let's now move on to see what he says. Go ahead. Because without that hakdama, without knowing that, you're looking at this and you probably think he's writing Chinese. More or less. Go ahead. You know, before you do that, let me give you one other, let me give you something he's going to quote at the end. Again, this is a case where in order to learn it, you either have to sort of know what he's talking about, if you go learn each of the sources, kind of like a Tosas, and then go through it. So I'm going to give you the last one because that's particularly, let me give you the two pieces that are here. Number one, when a, when a woman gets married, so up until that point, the Isser to her father was Bita. Now, she's also Eshes Ish, and why is it Chal? Because since Eshes Ish assured her to most of the other people in the world, not to those who were Arayas to her already, and obviously not to her husband, those who are Arayas to her already remain, of course, her Asser, her husband is Mutter, but since the Isser Eshes Ish was Chal on most of the world, it's Chal on her father as well. No. Moses. Her father's a gaver, not a chavta. It's the way you remember. Generally, that's the way it works. Okay. Isser Kol is called Dvarim Acherim Imo, and Isser Moses is most of other people in the Yisraelite. I think what I'm saying now is not a chiddush about what the definition of Kol Moses.
I thought that Kol is more people, and Moses is like,
right, so I'm absolutely certain that that's not, I'm virtually certain the Yom Kippur case is in the Isser Kola. And the Isser Yom Kippur is Kola Dvarim HaMutarim and Dvarim HaAsurim. In fact, in general, if you learn Shavuos in the Darim, in Shavuos, even though you can't be Nishba on something, it's not, you can't be Nishba on something that's Asur already. The Shavuos Nachal, because since it's Asur already Midaraisa, you're already Mushpah v'omei mehar Sinai, so the Shvua can't be Chal, but if you're Kolo Dvarim Acherim with it, Dvarim Amutarim with the Davar Asur, then it's Chal the Davar Asur as well. That's Kola.
But here, the Moses one I give here is
Chelev
turning into...
Well, hold on. Chelev turning into Hekdesh.
Yeah, it goes from Isser
Hanah. So I want to say, that's the one I chose to leave out. Some say that in Isser Hanah, if something becomes Asur v'Hanah, that's considered an Isser Mosif. If the new Isser would make it Asr Bahana, that's the problem for the Rambam, that's what he confronts in the Nekuda Nifla. The Nekuda Nifla, without explaining what the Rambam says, the Rambam claims that if you, and there is a Gemara that sounds very much like this, but you could kind of be docha a little bit. if the Rambam says that if you cook nevela meat in milk, so there is an isser bishul daraisa. But not only the Rambam says is it not asr b'achila mishum basa b'chol, it's only asr mishum nevela, but it's also not asr b'hanah at all. It has tremendously important nafkaminas. In other words, is putting aside tzchor ma'chol sasuros, is it asr tzikir hanah from a cheeseburger, which, as you know, is another problem there as well anyway, because the cheese might only be tigun, which might only be the rabbanon, so it's possible the rabbanon is both the rabbanon. But putting that aside, those probably fall in the same category. Same category. And therefore, but let's say you cooked your meat in milk. None of this wussy stuff of butter or this. Butter might be fit. Yes, cream. Let's get it in there. So if it were nevela meat, according to the Rambam, it's mutar b'hanah. Unless you think that this is so abstract, I once had a shayla of someone who had gone to like culinary school or something like that, and wanted to know about, it was a hard time finding a job, it was a long time ago, it was during, I think, 2008 recession, and had an opportunity on some type of a television show, but the person wouldn't be cooking the stuff, would have to be bringing the dishes in from the kitchen onto the stage. And the question was, you're doing schora b'suri hana, right? You're not allowed to be a truck driver and move yayin nesach, if it's really asur b'hana. You're not allowed to transport, it's a mishnah in Avodah Zarah, in Perek. Doesn't say a truck, it says a donkey, okay? So bottom line is that shayla was very much halacha lemaisa. Question is, can you rely upon the Rambam? Much more complicated question. Not quite, yes, but no. Because the question is whether or not it's really, it's ownership or not. Okay, so anyway, so the other piece is a Mishnah in Krasus, when clearly even the Tanayim sometimes needed a break, and they were sitting around in the base Spanish instead of bottling, they came up with wild scenarios. So the Mishnah says, Yesh ochel achila achas v'chayev alea chamesh chataos. The Gemara comes up with even more crazy things. But this is achilos. The Mishnayos have arayos, and the Gemara is even crazier arayos cases, where you can get multiple things for one bia. But here, it's one, what's the achila? So, it is chelev, which is no sar min hamukdashim. You have four chatos and one asham, and you're tameh. No, Rabbi Meir adds Yom Kippur, and they say lo min hashem because you what carry it out on Shabbos and in your mouth, so you're walking out. What's that? I don't think so. No, it's tameh, nosar, chaylev. Min hamukdashim, maybe, is it on Yom Kippur? I don't remember. Maybe it is part of the case. Okay. I don't remember. But anyway, so here's the part that's particularly, it is good, okay. And then, afim hotzio b'fiv, and they saw him, lo min hashem. Okay. So now, the question is, here's the one nekuda I want to focus on, because Torah Skitin is going to pull this out. The chelev is chelev as soon as the animal is born. It's actually not chelev before the animal is born. Why? Because chelev is not necessarily a chemical definition, it's a location in the animal. And since ubar zerach imo, chelev in the shlil, chelev in the ubar, is not in the right place, right? It's not chelev shal hakeva shal adakim. Now it's born, so the isra chelev is chal. It's not hektesh, therefore tumah doesn't matter, me'ila doesn't matter, and nosa doesn't matter. Now you're makdish. So the isra hektesh, the isra anah from hektesh, is chal on the rest of the animal, therefore it's chal on the chelev as well. Okay. So now I'll ask the question that he points out, the obvious. What happens though if before the person eats that chelev, all the rest of the basar has gotten eaten up from that animal? So would you say at that point there's no longer an iser of mukdashim? Because ain't iser chal al iser. Because there's no other basar. Then the Torah Skitin's answer to the question, of course, is, of course there's still an Isser there. Because once it sets in, it doesn't disappear. An Isser Chal Isser is only kind of set in. And by the way, just note, even when we say an Isser Chal Isser, that refers to the Onesh. But the Aveira is there. The Gemara Yavama says, Nach Gamina L'Kavro Be'Mashan Gemurin. Meaning a person who performs the same act, But act one has two Isurim in it, one has one Isurim in it, so you can't bury the, theoretically, if you don't bury Ein Kol and Rasha Eitzel Tzadik, not clear how that always works out, but then you can't bury the next Tzadik, because one's a bigger Rasha than the other. It also matters because if somehow the first Isur disappears, then the second one is Chal. In other words, it's waiting an ambush to be Chal if the opportunity presents itself. Okay, so the Torah Skitten says, go ahead, Daniel. Yeah, when you're Mishayer, Abba and Avich, so then if she has beer with them, if she has nus with them, so she's chayv also because of Eishes Ish. Had he been Megarish her with respect to everybody, she would have violated only Bito or Kalasa. But now she's also Eishes Ish. Yes. So if they warned them and said, don't have beer with this person, she's a married woman, instead of saying she's your daughter. So they didn't give us, what's that? Yes, Hasra. So, because halach and Hasra is that, it's not, you have to give a person Hasra that it's Asur in the Homer. Onesh, it might even be question that we've shown him. On Shabbos, you might even have to tell them which Ab Malacha they're violating. It's a whole question. You certainly can't tell them the wrong Ab Malacha. You tell them the wrong, one opinion person says, you don't have to tell them which Ab Malacha, but if you tell them the wrong one, they're going to think you're not serious. So, beginning of Perek Tolan, the 20th Perek. So, he says that, that you chai mishum eishashis, the ha, go ahead. Right, that's considered a simosif yoni. So, if you are mosif, the isser of eishashis legabe everybody else, you mosif eishashis legabe the father-in-law, legabe the father. Okay, the Ein Lomar. Ah, you'll say, but it's not an Isur Mosif anymore, because now she's Asura to nobody for Eishes Ish, except for Abba and Avich, and Abba and Avich she's already Asura to anyway, because of Abba and Avich, because of Kalasa or Bito. So you want to say maybe the Isur is no longer Chal. So he says, okay, so he says, well, his point is that even if you want to, right now, if you want to say that the Isser Mosif was gone, that's fine, but right now the Isser Ish is there, and Abba and Avich is there. Now, the way he's formulated is Vasachas is not so Mochrach. Because what you could say, what he really is saying, or maybe really should be saying, is that the Isser is not Paka. You don't need, in other words, in a Hanani, because remember, Abba and Avich is the Isser has always been there. Eishes Ish has not been there, so, I think it's a funny way of formulating, of looking at it as, oh, now it's a new Isser here, but it's Vasachas. Adarabba, if it's a new Isser here, maybe it's not Chal. Alright, but he gives an example, again, which is a good proof. It's perfectly analogous, but again, it's not really Isser Vasachas. It's that the Isser is not Paka, just because that which enabled the Isser to be Chal, even if that now disappears, it doesn't change the fact that the Isser was Chal. So he says, the Ilo Tema Hachi. Is this Chamesh Chataos or is Arba Chataos Vashem Achas? Yeah, okay. He's not the Chamesh Tarbanit. Okay, fine. Okay, so again, that's the Isser Mosif. When you mach the shit, the hekdesh is chal both on the chaylev and on the other meat because it's chal on the other meat. Okay, the chi. Asur b'hanoah. No, that doesn't make sense.
No.
Isra Hanar of Hektish. Okay, as opposed to other things are. Okay. Yeah, all the rest of the meat of the animal gets eaten. You're not allowed to eat the chalef, besides the fact that it's nosar. So would you think to say that it's no longer asr mishum mukdashim? Elavadai. Yeah, so. Yeah, I know. I just don't understand. I'm missing something. He must have a reason why he wants to call this Rasachas, which means it's not Paka. It's not Paka. You know, I think what he's really saying is when you look at the situation now and you evaluate it, she's also both Misha Mesesh Is and Aban Avich. Even, you know, if you want to restart the clock and look at things, well, right now she's also Misha both. So you could have said, in theory, that no, that the Isra Aban Avicha was an Isra Olam. It was Asa Me Olam. And Eishes Ish is not, and we're being done in Eishes Ish now. There's never a question that she remains, Aban Avich, she remains Kalas on Bita. So I'm not really sure why he picks on that element, but as long as the proof's a good proof, that the Isra is not Paka, even though it's no longer Moses. The Chavon. Okay, so he says it's a bigger shear than those things. Those are only things that come along with the kiddushim, but they're not actually the etzim, the iser bia that's associated with it. So if those are sfeikos, so is chutz meiz nusif me'aba ume'avich. Okay, any questions? Fine. I don't understand. Again, in one case, the basar is kachim, it's hekdesh, and we say that the iser hekdesh is not paka, right? The chaylev remains the chaylev. Now, the woman is an Eishes Ish Lagabe Aban Avich, and it never changes. The fact that it was only able to be Chal Lagabe Aban Avich because it was Chal on others, and it's no longer Chal on others because it's disappeared there. So it's different than the case of the Basar Kachim, because there the Basar Kachim no longer exists. Here the other people exist, but they're no longer prohibited because of Eishes Ish. But I don't know why that really should be so different.
The Isra is changing. My question, the Isra is not changing at all.
What do you mean the Isser is changing? You mean the okay, yes, but that's because, yeah, let me, fine, okay. Lu yitzuyer, that this animal is a balmur meyikara. Okay? And somebody would have come along and be poda the rest of the basar, but not the chaylev. Would you say in that case that the Isser mukashim is no longer chal no chaylev? But that would be analogous to this. And he chooses that example, but, you know.
That's the right, because we know what the din is. We know what the din is in this case.
How do we know what the din is in his case? He doesn't have a raya. He just assumes it's a davar pashut. There's no muck, or that if all the rest of the basar got eaten, that it would that still be chal. He just thinks it's a davar alafes that nobody would argue in it.
This part of it is changed.
Correct, but with respect to her father and father-in-law, it hasn't changed. And we don't say that since it couldn't be chal now, because she's not an Eishes Ish except Megabe anybody else, we don't say therefore it's paka. It disappears. No, once it's chal, it's chal. An alternative way, how does he know that it's not paka? So I think the answer is that Isser Chal Isser is a gatekeeper problem. But once you get through the gates, all bets are off. Right? That's why is Isser B'Vasachas not contested? Because how would you decide which one it is? Obviously, it's both. The other case is it's one already, and now you have to decide whether the other one has room to be chal. But it's really about being chal. Yon? It hasn't changed with respect to them. It was initially chal on them because it was chal on other people. Now that she gets divorced for all the people, it's still there for her father and father-in-law. That's nus.
Yes.
Definitionally.
Okay, well, we say that there's...
It doesn't matter whether she goes through motions or not. She's an Ishi Sishla guy to her father and father-in-law. So it doesn't matter whether they made a chuppah or didn't make a chuppah. If she has been with them, she's chai bishim kalasa or bito and Ishi Sish. Because that doesn't stop being. Whenever you violate Ishi Sish, there's no difference between whether you marry the woman you're having an adulterous affair with or you just sleep with her. It's the same thing. Kedusha Zachal, so the act of Bia is an act of Znus, period. There's no Tanai here. This is a Shir in a get. She is divorced with respect to some people, but not with respect to others. So, Almanash Lotinasi L'Abel Avich, because she can't marry them anyway, it's not Chal, it's not a Shir. The question is, if you can't have Znus with them. So the Torah Skitten's argument is that there's Nafgamina. In other words, it's Shaykh to say she's an Ish L'Gabe them, even though she can't marry them, because there's Znus. And that's why it really matters. That's why we might say Almanasha Tinasi Areza Gitech Chutz Minisu Abavich gets good, but Chutz Miznus the Abavich the get might not be good. No difference. Any of the Arayos. Bia, whether or not you made a chuppah or not, is a snus. Same thing. One second, the Beis Shmuel. Because you can't have nisuim with Abba Nevich. You can have snus. That's all. You can contract a marriage, but you are capable of having snus. That's just a fact. He threw that out there to say, you might have argued, you can't make an inference on that. He says, no, you can. He acknowledges they're a little different. Chutz me nisui abavavich is not a shir because it doesn't work anyway. Whereas nusif, I mean, it's not about working or not working. It's not a question of how. It is. You can violate the isur's nus. You can't have a marriage with the father. Daniel? Savasheshna Matiran is unique to Simon Kuf Beis. I don't think it's generally something that's applied anywhere else. I don't want to say never, but...
I was saying you have to say that anytime you have a relationship
with Matiran. All right.
If you really have a Matiran, then you just apply it.
That is a forbidden admixture you are making now. Okay, any other questions? Yoni?
I'm still not getting this. It seems like this right.
Yes. Yeah, but it's not chal, so it's meaningless. Whereas nus is an act which... To do what? Kedushin? No, there's not. As far as I know, you show me a makar that says you can't go up, you don't have a sister, but you had a sister. Show me a makar that says you can't go to your sister and say, I'm a kedushin slave. It's not chal, it's meaningless. It might be vulgar, but it's not... No, is there? When we say there's an Isser, so marriage is irrelevant. It doesn't matter whether they go through a ceremony or not. There's Nus is the same thing. A better, if you were looking for something, the only example that I can think of, a clear example, is that Bia derechasnus with a non-Jew is an issa daraisa, clearly. Even though the marriage is not chal. But it defines the bia. But by all other issa bia, marriage is irrelevant to defining the issa. There is, by the way, but it's irrelevant to arayas. There is a machlokas abai in Rava if a kohen is mekadesh a grusha, whether he gets malchus for the kiddushin. Abai says yes, Rava says no. It's a gemara, I think, a kiddushin, ayin ches, ayin zayin, or something like that. That's unusual. But when it comes to arayas, that's because the reason why anybody would say you get malchus is because the kiddushin is chal. The kiddushin is not chal, so it's just nothing. It's not that there conceptually could be a position that the act of kiddushin itself does the usher, but it's not. So, you have to take my word on that.
It seems wrong then to say that just because.
No, he's saying that he's acknowledging and ignoring the argument you might have made against him. He's saying that chutz me nisui aban avich and chutz me znus avich are treated the same way. And since we know that, for sure, one of them, namely chutz me nisui avich, is not a shir, so too chutz me znus avich is not a shir. And he's saying, I'm saying that despite the fact that I understand that nisuin de avich is an impossible thing, it doesn't exist. Whereas znus does exist, znus is just a reality. And nonetheless, he says, I'm equating the two. That's all that's going on. Right? No.
What's his culture? At the end of the day, it's still part of the same suffix.
Yes, but the Mil Dvei Shmuel said it's not a suffix at all. The Dvei Shmuel said Chutz Miznus Abu Vavir is not a shir. She's with Harris to marry. He gets a good get. And Torah Skitten says, no, it's still a suffix.
No, but he says, no, it's not a right?
Who? Are you in the Torah Skitten or the Dvei Shmuel? No, in the Bayer Rishona, he agrees. The whole...
The Havishur.
No. It can't be... Daniel, if Chutz Miznus Diploni is the Suffolk, Kavachom is only a Suffolk, not Vada Ishir. Chutz Miznus Da Abavich can't be any more clearly a Shir. And he says, Havi Ishir, mi Suffolk. If we were to somehow, Eliyahu HaNavi would come, even though he really can't, Paskin Halacha, for us. But if Eliyahu HaNavi were to come and say that he had a Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, we didn't know this, and we forgot about it. Eliyahu HaNavi would come and say, Chutz Miznusich, period, is Vaday not a Shir, then it wouldn't be a Shir Legabai Aban Avich. If he would tell us that Vaday is a Shir, Torah Skitten says it would be true Legabai Aban Avich as well. But we don't know, because Eliyahu hasn't come and told us that, so. Yes. I'll just tell you, there's only one place in Shas that I'm aware of where Eliyahu comes to clarify, but might be coming to clarify a halacha, not coming to clarify a mitzvah. I'm not going to tell you where that is. You really want. Should I torture Ephraim? Let's take a vote. Should I torture him? Who says I should torture him? See, they love you. That's great. The answer is by Misadrin Lebalchov. I think it's the beginning of the ninth verse about mitzvah. Thanks. That's where it is. That's a Matthias. Wasn't even Eliyahu anyway. That wasn't Eliyahu. That was a Matthias. Right? He wanted to see what was on the Tchelas. By Korah, that's by Bava Basra, right? The beginning of the Perkaspin, I think. Right? So he cut off a thing of the Tzitzis. It wasn't Eliyahu, though. Wasn't it Rabba Babrachan or somebody, something like that?
It was
higher
and...
Yeah, okay. No, but that's a Matthias. He wanted to see. If you saw Moshe Rabbeinu's Tchelas, it's not a Pesach Din as much as you saw what the Matthias was. It's not a halacha. Yeah, it is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. No, halacha would be what the paskin is for. That's the point. Anyway, okay. Time to move on. Let us begin Nisan. The Mishnah on the bottom of Fehei Amid Aleph. What does that mean? Yes. That's the main thing in the get. Fine. So the conclusion you would naturally reach is, if you didn't write Haram Muteris L'chol Adam in the get, it would be no get. It's like Lamashal. This is not a halacha l'maisa p'sak, but it's a svara. The svara, it's kind of like, supposing you have a person who, Rachman al-Litzvan, loses a limb, and they give him a transplant. So let's say Reuven gets Shimon's kidney. Who is Reuven now? He's Reuven. Let's say Shimon was dying. He got two kidneys and lungs and a heart transplant and the liver and cornea transplant from Shimon. Who is he? What's that? I think I'm familiar. But yes, however, that's the guy who tainted that for a murder that he committed 7 years ago, he should be exempt because he's no longer the same person because all the cells have been replaced. Thank you. So I think that one didn't work. But for the same reason, I would argue. So what kind of a transplant would make Reuven Shimon? Jimmy? I think a brain transplant. We can't do brain transplants. No, I always thought that was as far as to why brain death should be dead, even though my personal position, I follow my Rebbe, and I treat it as a suffix. In other words, I think he's right. Al-Pidin, it's a suffix. But the svara might have been that what makes you a human being is your brain. Everything else you could transplant from somebody else, but you're still, your identity. So, the Haram Muteris L'chol Adam is the brain of the get. Everything else is nice, fancy language to show you that we know Aramaic. So we have something. It would be kind of dull if all you could write Haram Muteris L'chol Adam Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael and give her a piece of paper. That would be kind of a dull get. And certainly, if she's supposed to have 12 lines of the get, you know, you're getting 12 lines out of that. Haram Muteris L'chol Adam Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Nothing more. Unless you count the Edom signing as 4 more lines. So bottom line is that the ikar of the get, the gufo shel get, is Haram Muteris L'chol Adam. Yes, Ephraim. And don't tell me it's a terrible metaphor because guf and kaviyah are not the head. Right? There's the Kaviyah versus the Rosh. But nonetheless, when it comes to a get, the Iker of the get is Haram Muteris L'chol Adam. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay. So, these words, interesting words. Firstly, not only Shonim have all three phrases here, but for a little bit of fun, you could look at the Targumei HaMikra. And for Sefer Krisus, each of the three major Jewish Aramaic Targumim that we possess, Unklus, Pseudo-Jonathan, and Targumei Ofiti, which is an Eretz Yisrael Targum, only rediscovered in the 1950s, a mislabeled manuscript in the Vatican. It was labeled as Unklus. It turned out it was this new Targum, which we had fragments that looked like it. The Targum Yerushalmi printed in the Chumash and some of the Karsh Gedolos, it was a full version of that. All those three Targum have, one has Get Pifurin, one has Igeres Shavukin, and one has Sefer Teruchin. I don't remember Unklus is, I don't remember Unklus is Get Pifurin. I think Unklus is, I don't know, it's Get Pifurin or Sefer Teruchin, probably Sefer Teruchin. So, what do these words mean? A sefer is a book, a siras darim, the Gemara says it, but a book, a scroll. An igeres, a get, a shtar. A get is a shtar. And the word pitur, what does the word piturin mean? What?
No.
Daniel? To send out. The word shalach, interestingly enough, in the Bavli, the word is shadar. The only Targum who uses the word shadar is Targum Pseudo-Jonathan, except for Jonas, Unklus uses it in one passage two times, by Yehuda and Tamar, shalach kibizim and atzon. Otherwise, for Unklus, shalach is virtually always shalach, in Aramaic as well. Targum Jonasan, Pseudo-Jonathan, often when he talks about sending away an eved, uses the term pitar. Unklus rarely does. I don't want to say never, rarely does. A get pifurin is a get shiluach. Okay, now, the last one is Igeres Shibukin. It's probably what should be vocalized. What is Shibukin? What is Shivak? It means to leave, to abandon. Okay, it means get out of here. Correct. It's making somebody leave. Because as you know, a woman can't, you can't send the husband out. It's got to be the wife who's sent out. Now, just one note, because it's going to come up in the Gemara, but you don't realize it, about the vowel in Shibukin, that U vowel. You know what that U vowel tells you? I forgive you for not, since Yeshiva College no longer makes you do real Hebrew, I forgive you for this. That U vowel is the abstract noun. I don't know why, but Targum Unklus always translates Le'isha as a wife. He always translates not as Le'itata, which is what you expect, but rather as Le'itu. You know what Le'itu means? Wifehood. That's what it means. Wifery. Okay? Dichilu, it means fear. Not afraid. Not an adjective, but it's the abstract noun. You know that that's true in Hebrew as well. The same vowel. Can you think of an example? It's all over the place. Malchus. Those U vowels tell you it's an abstract noun. Speech. Kingship. Right? Now, Shibukin and versus Shvikin are two very different things. Shvikin, as the Gemara will say, be very careful about that vav. Shvikin is a passive participle, like sivin, written. Shvikin would be multiple women who had been abandoned. But Shibukin is an abstract noun. The plural is an odd in itself, but it doesn't mean anything. So you're going to translate Sefer Teruchin. Terichin would be those who had been chased out. Igeres Shibukin and get Piturin. Yes. What about Krisus? Is that plural? I don't know. Is that plural? I'm not sure.
Also, more fundamentally, why was it?
You mean why does the get switch Hebrew and Aramaic? Why do our ksubos go back and forth? I want our ksuba written only in Aramaic.
I understand you. Then you get to someone on permission. Actually, you must add things in Aramaic.
It's not that it's in Aramaic. It's not that it's in Aramaic that it's being added. It's the content that's being added.
I understand.
So you're asking, the question is to what extent, it's a broader question, not really our issue now, is how much do they see the lines between Hebrew and Aramaic? There is a statement of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, this may shock you. It would be scandalous if anybody uttered it today. But he said that in Babylonia, Lashon Arami, why? Why would anybody use Aramaic? Either speak Hebrew or speak Persian. In Eretz Yisrael, why Lashon Sursi, which is Syriac, a dialect of Aramaic Lama, why would anybody use that? Speak Hebrew or speak Greek? Now, what that does tell you, well, firstly, most people spoke Aramaic, but I suspect that what you have is Aramaic and Hebrew often blend together. So you do get this. We know that you get this in languages. Just look at modern Hebrew and the amount of English in it. So people, and in the Mishnah, you see Greek words all over the place. You don't tend not to see Greek constructions grammatically, but that may be because they're two families of languages. Hebrew and Aramaic share the same basic grammatical structure. So the Ksuba also is a mishmash. Not true. You have, whenever you're dealing with this, you find this when it comes to Sharos. The Mishnayos in Tsubo says, Lo kasav la benin dichmin diyevi lichim inai inon yartin keset suksech imachuon. There are a bunch of them. In Tishtabai, Afarkinach, Vahadrinach, Lachli leintu. That's a series of Mishnayos in the fourth parak in Tsubos. They're not the only places. There are only two places you will find straight Aramaic in the Mishnah, not epistolary, as we might call it, not in documents or letters. One is a Mishnah Idios, Perachas Mishnah Dalid, Ed Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer, Istreda Ayo Kansa Dechan, Al Mashke Beis Mitbachaya Dechan, Odiyikra Bemisa Yistayif. And then Hillel's statements in Mefrek Yavos. There are a few of them there. That's as far as, you know, outside of the epistolary things, those are the only ones that I'm aware of. So, I don't know why. I don't know if they saw the language as bleeding into one another. Probably somebody wrote an article somewhere on it. But yes, if I... Is that statistically true? Rabbi Yehuda is a big Bamed Devarim Umma guy, but I don't know if he's a big storyteller. He's the MSI Bamed Devarim Umma guy, because the Amoraim argue about what is he doing, qualifying or arguing. Yes. And then you want to do a course in classical Jewish history or Qumran, everything you want. This was a big debate. A lot of scholarship, early 20th century, even late into the 20th century, Christian scholars claimed that Hebrew was a dead language. Mishneic Hebrew wasn't spoken, because that was anti-Semitic. Actually, it was because the Jews of the rabbinic Jews were not really the Jews of the Bible, because we're not really successors. That theory was shot to pieces when they found the Bar Kochba letters, Nachal Chever, which were written in Mishneic Hebrew, which meant it was a spoken dialect. Who spoke it? How many people spoke it? It's a separate question. But once you assume that, you have no way of knowing what's early and what's late.
Yeah, because he's
in dialogue with the Tanakhama. I think they're contemporaneous. I don't think you can talk about one being early, one being late. Right? Well, that may be true, but it's not by virtue of being Aramaic, it's by virtue of being formulaic.
I mean, if they're in Arksuba.
Right. I mean, look at Arksuba. I mean, again, I thought I want to rewrite. That should be, you know, I didn't do this. This is we're learning classic Torah Shbal Peh, but, you know, I considered giving an assignment back in the year when I taught Targumim. Your job is to rewrite the rest of the Ksuba in Aramaic. So, anyway. Yes, Yoni. Because whenever it comes to stuff of Gittin and Yuchsin, we want to make sure we hit all the nails on the head. Except that, in this case anyway, not everybody had all three. They still had two. Yeah, it's just Ether HaLashem. Okay, so he said that this shall be for you from me, a book of chasing you out, a letter of being ma'aziv you, if I can use that word, and a document of sending away. Limhach means to go. The labed in Aramaic isn't there. In the binyan kal in Aramaic, it's limhach. You do, as far as I know, you will not find the verb in the past tense. In the past tense, you know what it would be? Azal. But you'll find it, at least in the Targumim, and it's probably not found in the Babli. Babli only has azal, Babli Aramaic, as far as I know. But Targumic Aramaic has the infinitive in the future can be limhach and yehach. You will never find it in the present tense or the past tense unless it's like a binyan kal, like halich, mehalich, in which case the lamed has tchias amesim and comes back to life. If you have to use a past tense in the kal in Aramaic, it's azal, present tense also. Yezel also appears in the Targum. I don't know what the pattern is when it does yehach, when it does yezel. One of the questions that bothered me for 15 years. I still haven't sat down to try to really figure it out. I gave up a long time ago. Okay, so that's Limhoch. All right, and the mem, by the way, what's the mem from? That's the Binyan Kal Aramaic infinitive. Limichtav is to write. It's also, by the way, all over Chumash. You just have to realize it. Vasisa Mizbeach Miktar Ketores. That means for the burning of incense. It's literally, Vayuha Hayrmael Lachem Limichlat is probably an infinitive. There are lots of mem infinitives, Aramaic, Ephraim, in Chumash. Like, Esam Or Gadol, Limem Shalas Hayom, Esam Limem Shalas Halayla. Look at the Targum, Lemishmat B'Yamama, Lemishmat B'Loya. Those are infinitives. So, I have this strange affinity for infinitives for some reason. So, if I were going to write a PhD thesis now in Onklus, on Targumim, I would write it about infinitives. I have lots of things to say about it. Okay. So anyway, Limhoch, the mem, is just like Limichtav, but it's the middle letter, it's a defective verb. You know, it's a short verb. Limkum is to get up. But that mem is just a prefix. Okay, only in the kal, by the way, not in any other binyanim. Now, the binyanim, there's no mem there. Okay, lehisnasva is also infinitive, which means to be taken. Note, by the way, this you might know from Rashi and Chumash. Normally, when you take a person, I don't know what if it's true in Mishneic Aramaic, but in Targum Aramaic, What's the verb to take a person? Rashi comments on the pasuk of Mishneh Kesef Lakhuvi Adam Ves Bin Yamin, Devar, which means to leave. You lead an animal, you lead a person. You're not nisav them, in Umplus at least. A Neophithi, I think it is nisav. There's only one time, it may not be politically correct, there's only one time you take a person. When you marry her. That's the term, nisav. So, lemisnasva is to be taken, to be married by someone, to be taken in marriage by someone. Lechol gvar means to any man. And then it should be bi titzviyin, because it's a little tricky. The reason why this is complicated is because it's a lamed yud verb. The last, what it's the word is tzavei. What is the word tzavei? I have a wedding I'm doing tonight, and in the ksuba it will say utzvi such and such chasan benan. I once had a student of mine whose first name was Tzvi, and I always send him the ksuba to look at to check out the names, and his kala timidly wrote back to me and said, I don't want to say, there might be a mistake there because you put his name in twice, because it said Utsvi Tzvi. But it did not put it in twice. Utsvi means, and he wanted, or he agreed to. Eretz HaTzvi means the desired land. It's almost a quasi-Aramaism of Eretz Chemda. So, but that's Chamad and Tzvi are the same thing. So the titzayan is that you desire. It's tricky because it's tzadi beiz yud. Normally it would be tichtov is masculine, tichtavin is feminine. Do not let that nun surprise you. In Hebrew, what would it be? At? Yes, except for when there's nunation. Eli says to Chana, ad masai tishtakarin. Sometimes that nun appears. So just like it can be yishmeru or yishmerun, it doesn't mean anything. So in Aramaic, typically it's tichtavin. So it's the titzvein. That's what there is. That you, singular, feminine, desire. Okay. The end. There's more to it when we see, you know, the fuller nusach haget, but go ahead. Gufa shoget shechur. Okay. So you say you are a free person, or you're on your own, you are to yourself, you belong to yourself. So the Gemara says, we'll do this Gemara quickly. Pshita. Why? So, Amar lo le'ishto, harayach baschorin, lo amar v'lo klum. This is politically correct, because your wife is not owned by you. You not own your wife. There's no kinyan mamon there, and therefore tell her she's a baschorin. She was a baschorin before. Thank you very much. And then, he said to Shivchas Arat Muteres Lechol Adam. Well, what does that normally mean? It means you can marry anybody, except that, in other words, the person you were married to until now, no longer holds you restricted. But a Shivcha never had a prohibition of marriage because she wasn't in the parish of Gitlin Kiddushin. So therefore, it doesn't work. However, Amar Le Isha. Lagamrei kamerla? Yes. What does it mean, lamalacha kamerla? You should know this in the end of the first parak. That's a hint. Right. If he says, harei alatmech, he keeps a masedayim. Now, it's a machlokas, but it really can do such a thing. We assume he can't. He can let her keep a masedayim. But obviously, if he's going to keep a masedayim, what is he not doing? Not feeding her. He's saying, "Tzi masi yadach l'mzonosayach," which he's only allowed to do if our salary is greater than the cost of her food. She has the right to say, "Eini nizonas ve'eini osa," the way we paskin. It's Rav Huna's din that any takanas chachamim kozeh, if she say efshi betakanas chachamim, you can be mochel on dinei mamonos. So she can say she works for Goldman Sachs, not in the computers department, guys, in the trading floor, okay, in the investment banker division. Sorry. So she works there and says, "Thank you very much. I'll keep my salary. You keep your pita and chumos." So she's entitled to do that. She's allowed to do that. So if he says harei la'achnech, which could be simas yedach mizonsach, assuming she makes enough money. So is that all it means, or is he saying legamre, meaning you are to yourself? Now, you know, by the way, the oddity in this whole. What did he, firstly, did he say this or did he write this? So I think it's clear from Rashi that he wrote it, at least in this sugya. When you look, did anybody look at the parallel Gemara Kiddushin? Do you know what's different than that Gemara? Well, fundamentally nothing. Okay. That's the subject of a famous story. Dr. Grach, Dr. Soloveitchik, you heard referred to earlier. The story of these goes, I was a student, but not in the shir, that he asked them, what's the difference between Gavavli and Yerushalmi here? And in that class were a bunch of Gaonim. Like the people who were in that class were like, Gaonim. Name some of the names you know. And I think Rabbi Clapper, for example, was in that shir. But he wasn't the only, you know, really smart guy who was in that shir. And so apparently he went down the class. Every person said, I don't know. And he, Dr. Soloveitchik screamed there, you dolts, there is no difference. Close to slam this Gemara shut and walk out. That was the story. So there is no difference in this case. I'm not a bar hachi to have the right to slam my Gemara and walk out. I have no such delusions. So there is no difference, except for if you look in there, it appears from the Gemara, the way, and Rashi isn't qualified, it sounds a little more like it's Amira, even though it shouldn't be. It has to be writing. The strange thing is, if you write it, well, what else could you write in the get? Right? Wouldn't you think that context would give it away? So that's all you wrote in the get, in the shtar, I understand. But if you write, you know, and v'dein v'yevi lichem inai, get piturin v'ger shibukin v'sefer teirichin, well, you think it's kind of obvious what he means by la'atzmech. Unless you say that that's not sufficient. It doesn't matter that the context tells you you're trying to be megarishar. The language has to be a lashon of gerushin. But clearly, if he wrote in the shtar, harei ani magurash mimach v'dein v'yevi lichem inai, I assume that's no good. There is other stuff in this get. I didn't see any of the Sharon talk about this. But there's other stuff in the get, but it doesn't matter because the guf has to state Gavish. Yes, Ephraim. Possible. So you're saying all the Tanakhama has is Ani Ploni Ish Ploni Meishmachom Ploni, who's called such and such, said to this woman, whose name is such and such, and any other name she's called from such and such a place. So instead of Sarah Teres L'chol Adam, said, Hareyat La'atzmech Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Okay. Maybe. Fine. So now the Gemara just says, Amar Levim Ravashi. Kani Gufei. Right, if you say Arei La'atzmech, you're free, you're on your own. That's just it, you're on your own. So an Eved who's coming to the Adam, if that's enough to say, sayonara, you're not here, you know, I have no connection to you anymore, certainly in respect to the wife, where the connection is more tenuous to start with, because all you have is a kinyanist, there's no kinyan mamon, certainly Arei La'atzmech should be sufficient. Okay. Merit doesn't challenge that. Amar Le'Ravin L'Ravashi. Now, the Rishonim point out here, Tosos, I think, has a comment about this. I thought so. No, it's not an error, Tosos. A number of Rishonim comment in the Asik office, strange question by an Eved. And the Maskan is even stranger. What happens if I have a field, which belongs to me, I say, in the Asik Pesadazel, what's the status of the field? Exactly as it was before. Halacha has two different modes of detaching oneself from something or person. One is kinyan and one is mechila. You cannot be mochel something that you have already that's a physical possession. It cannot be mochel my sada to you. The only thing you can be mochel on something that's intangible, it's abstract, I can be mochel on is chos. If you want to get rid of your field, you have to be mafkiret. So the problem is, if you say in the asik pesada zo, it's still your field. So the question is, why would it work by Eved? And the Gemara right, is asking the question, Lamaskanasa Gemara, is it works by Eved? Is they going to quote the Sambraisa? So the question is, why does it work by Eved? The answer that Rishonim give is that the Eved, even though you have a Kinyan Mamon, the Eved has a Yad to be Zocha V'Atzma. And therefore, when you are, say, in the Asek Bach, what you are doing is you're being Masalik your Bailus. And when you're Masalik your Bailus, the Eved can be Zocha immediately. Because the Eved already has some Shlita over himself. Your field has no shlita over itself. Your field is wholly and completely yours. You can't do anything you want with your eved. You can't kill your eved. You can't hit your eved. I mean, not in a derech nitzayon. I mean, maybe derech discipline, like you could hit a child, or you could hit a Talmud who wasn't learning properly. Not in this yeshiva. Not in a long time. Good thing that way. So you don't have uncontested, universal control over your eved. So as soon as you're misalik yourself, that's enough, possibly. Assuming that was your intent, Ainli Esek Bach could mean the eved's on his or Shifan her own. Okay, so the Gemara says Tashma. And Amar Le Rav Chanan Le Rav Ashi, I'm sorry. Right, it's a knas that if you sell your eved to a guy, you're never allowed to be mishtabin him, and you're chayv to redeem him and set him free. Because when you sell him to a guy, he's going to have a hard time doing mitzvahs, and the eved kanani is mechayv in mitzvahs. So now, okay, what is ono? Do you know what the word ono means? It's a Greek word. An inchtar. It's a Greek word for star. You know where we saw it? Where did we see it most recently? Everybody except for Jonathan should know this. Kostven alav ono afilu b'shabbos. Kona sada b'suria, kekona b'parvari Yerushalayim. L'may nafkamina, that the kostven alav ono afilu b'shabbos. All right, so my ono. Yeah, if he wrote that to the Eved when he sells him, listen, if you can manage to get away from your owner, the guy, you manage to flee, I declare you free, that's a shkar shechor. So you see that in li esek bach is valid for an Eved, and you have to say that there's some kind of a shibuk. Okay. Now, the next part of the Gemara is the part that becomes vexing. Now, I'm not going to start this now, but I'm going to ask you to look at a couple of other Gemaras. You have to look at a Gemara in Kiddushin. I think it's Daf Hei Amud Beis, about Yadayim Mochichos, I think going over to Vav Amud Aleph. And then you also need to look in the Gemara in Nazir. I think it's Daf Hei. If you did Daf Yomi, if you could just hold off a few days till like Shabbos, then you'd probably be there. So those are the two other Gemaras, and there are a lot of pieces to put together in this puzzle. This is a wonderful example of, which we occasionally encounter, where Rishonim have to juggle a lot of different pieces. They have to give preference to one sugya or another. They have to interpret one sugya in light of another. That's the difference between Tosfos and Chachmei Sfarad. Early Chachmei Sfarad, Tosfos tries to resolve the two. Early Chachmei Sfarad are more easily see them in conflict and choose between the two. So this is what you need to be thinking about. Four pieces. This, the Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara in Kiddushin in the first parak, and the Gemara Nazir in the first parak, to figure out A, what is Shmuel? What does Shmuel hold? B, how should we paskin? And C, as regards to question B, in which type of cases? What is our maskana? Is there a conflict between the sugyas where we have to choose between one, or can we sort of put the two together and sort of take from both? Okay, any questions?